From our headquarters in Oslo, Norway, and on behalf of our host, Robbie Peralta, welcome to the Mnemonic Security Podcast.
Revenues, assets, benchmarks, depreciations, and budgeting, not exactly the stuff we're used to talking about on this podcast. That being said, we have been trying for years to convince the money bags to invest in our security programs, so maybe it's about time we put some effort into understanding how their world works as well. Now, I know this infamous C-level executive is usually portrayed as a Rolex-wearing, Porsche-driving suit person, but actually they're just another employee of the company. And one which, I must say, has a lot in common with us security people. They want the best for the organization, they are risk-aware, detail-oriented, and, well, a little stressed out with all the balls they have in the air. Now, we're all familiar with the classical, if you can't beat them, join them phrase, but we've been on the same team the whole time. So how do we join forces and become our best selves? Ervin Bjerkseth, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure having you here. You are the new chief financial officer in Mnemonic.
Correct.
Sounds very fancy. The first thing I heard, thought of when I saw that you were joining is a CFO. I wonder what they think about cybersecurity. And that's why you're here today. So, but before we get into that, why don't you tell us a bit about who you are?
Yeah, so my name is Øyvind Bjerkseth. And I've been here now for a month as a CFO.
I must have asked you after 1 week then.
Yes.
Sorry about
you invited
that.
Me after 1 week.
Yeah.
I guess you wanted to have me here since I don't know that much about security. But my background is I have a master's in finance. I started my career in management consulting, also doing some corporate finance work, working in a wide range of industries, everything from actually beauty treatments to helicopters and fish and airplanes. Then I have the short period in private equity before I started kind of more on this finance track, joining Norsk Gjenvinning, the largest waste management company in Norway. And then after a few years there, joining Cramo as the CFO for Cramo Norway. Mm. Yeah, and then the money came along and asked me to join, and it's been an interesting first month and a lot to learn about this.
A lot to learn, yeah.
This world of security.
So I bet you people are wondering why do we have a CFO with us here today. So I have to sum that up, to answer that question, I have a quote here. I went into Google and typed in, "Why should a CFO care about security?" And this is the top results. For the most part, the chief financial officer's main goal is to save the company money. A good CFO can find cost savings in everything from office supplies to personnel. There is, however, one area which a CFO must be able to see the value in spending the extra dime, and that is on cybersecurity. So with all your finance background, my first question to you is, what do you think about cybersecurity? Where has cybersecurity been in your head from those previous positions?
The companies I've been working for hasn't really been that technology focused.
Lots of production types of companies that come from.
Yes, production, but also logistics. But then kind of not the forerunners typically in the industry as a whole in terms of being kind of tech.
Mm.
Tech companies.
Totally understandable, yeah.
But we did in both those, we implemented new systems. We did a lot of kind of thoughts about where we will be in a few years' time. I have to admit that the kind of general security part wasn't that much top of the mind. It was more, I think for my part, my focus has always been probably more on the people side. How do you actually limit people's access to? Of course, they have to be able to do their job, but you don't want them to have access to information that they shouldn't have access to, or be able to do something that they shouldn't. And been my main focus has always been kind of, okay, what's the risk here in terms of people doing things, making errors that are affecting our customers or our production? Had actually someone in the organization who just in the line organization just order 15 smart tags or something like that from a Chinese website and just mounted them on the containers and said, can we integrate this with SAP? I was like, no, we can't integrate this.
I was re-listening to what you just said. I heard risk a lot. So you kind of looked at cybersecurity as a risk, right? That is that fair to assume? That was just one of the other risks you had to deal with?
Yes, and that's also a way that where cybersecurity kind of fits into an area that's important for CFO. It's all risk management. It's kind of key, and you know, normally insurance, for example, sits with the CFO too, and also investments in any kind of risk mitigation is important.
So the point of this episode is actually to help us as security people, right, to convince you, CFOs, to give us money.
Yeah.
So said in one way. What sort of KPIs did you have as a CFO?
I think
key performance indicators for
yes,
us security people.
Yeah, kind of. I think the most important part of a CFO role is actually to be responsible for KPIs throughout the whole organization and make sure there's quality in them.
Mm.
KPIs, it's kind of a, if they are good, I love them. If they're not good, they are terrible, because I think very, very often it's a lot easier to have efficiency KPIs than quality KPIs, for example.
Mm.
And when you have this belief that you need KPIs, you risk actually just replacing quality with efficiency and then getting lower quality. But kind of more specifically for the CFO role is more, it's overall KPIs mostly, like total shareholder return or kind of profitability or cash flow related. And now more and more also in more modern businesses that we have more kind of total social impact or total environmental impact, total sustainability returns. There are measurements also developed there to say that, you know, what you make on the bottom line financially isn't everything.
So you've never went into a security team and said, hey, you need to... your KPIs to be able to detect X amount of attacks or stop X amount, or you haven't been involved in the security KPIs?
No, I haven't been involved in security KPIs.
What have you been, or what have your discussions with the security sort of been like?
I think it's been more kind of on a very high level and general level in terms of kind of do we have a security level that is acceptable? Do we, and then you kind of get this, yes, but we want a bit more, or but then security has been part of the IT in the organizations where I've been also. So it's been.
But you must have had some sort of training with security people, like CFO fraud or something.
Yeah, we've done that. We've done more of this kind of what do you call it, like
micro. Yeah, the short ones where it's like 30 seconds every day.
One or two minute e-training.
Jungle map. Yeah, yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
So we had that 1 or 2 minute e-training for the whole organization, and that's kind of more also the same. I think that's related to the whole kind of people risk.
Yeah.
Kind of how do you train people to have a basic understanding of the risk and do not click on links and do stuff like that. So we've done that, but it's not been kind of a core area that we've discussed in any of the projects I was involved. So I assume that a lot of companies that are kind of not traditionally having a lot of technology, when those companies are getting new technology, security isn't the first thing they think of. Then you probably do that after some time, and you have this initial kind of first you get this idea kind of, oh, we can make this dashboard for our customers, and you just rush to create it without really thinking even about what does that mean, what does that integration with the ERP system mean.
Yeah, because in my head you have I think in most companies it's kind of like you have the CFO and the CIO, they're going to control the money bags. Then you have the security team, and your guys' goal is to save money, right? And I'm sure you have KPIs for how much money you save, or you have a goal at least. And then here comes the security team, and all we're doing is asking for more money. We always need more money.
Yep.
No matter what you say, we need more money, or else bad things could happen, right? Do you have any tips to security people how they can actually get that message over to you and the CIO and other people that are, when they ask for money, like what would actually fit into your story?
I think there's a couple of things. I think first of all, I think the CFO role also has evolved over the last year. So it's not only cost cutting anymore and keeping cost low. It's also business development and profitability, and thereby also having this part where security is an enabler to do new businesses. So I think that's kind of an important one way to look at it and get the attention of the CFO.
Security is a business enabler. Yeah.
Yes, it's a business enabler, and also then in projects, I think the CFO role is often to ask the tough questions. Have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? And then the security people can in projects ask kind of basically the same questions from a security perspective, thereby teaming up with the CFO when kind of building a strong relationship there. Mm. And then it also...
Both be tough.
Yes.
Both tough. Be hard to deal with, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But then on the other side, you know, kind of risk management is key for a CFO, and then it's both kind of, you know, how do you mitigate risk and what you do when you're actually affected by any kind of incident, whether it's a cybersecurity incident or whether it's a fire or anything. You need to have thought through what to do or how to mitigate it, what to do when it happens, and how to reduce the effect of it. Where also insurance comes in. So specifically to answer the question, I think creating a story that is aligning this to, you know, this is the risk that are hitting us as a company, be more kind of specific than, because, you know, the challenge with security is that, you know, everyone is a potential target. So there's some risk for everyone. Mm. And where do you stop the investment level? So be very clear on this is a good idea for us because of this and that. And also maybe present some alternatives and say, you know, we can do this, discuss X, discuss Y, discuss Z, these are the pros and cons. If you do this, if we are attacked, the effect will be, the result will be higher, but we can reduce the risk a bit. So it's going to be also involving the CFO in kind of
decision making.
Yeah. Yes. How much to invest, how much to reduce the risk, what's the consequences.
So you don't care if the firewall is red or green or blue. You care about the risks and the...
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct. And I don't really care about the brand neither. Nice. As long as,
as long as it works. As long as it's demonic. Yes, yes. So I've often philosophized. I don't even know how to say that word anymore. Philosophized. Yes, I've often done that about you know, what are we doing here in security, right? And at the end of the day, at your level, I would assume that you said the word insurance, right?
Yep.
Cybersecurity is an insurance because if you invest in cybersecurity, then you have less of a risk in having to pay something later. Insurance, cyber insurance. What is your what have you heard about it? Where is cyber insurance positioned in your head today? Before joining Mnemonic, actually, how'd you look at insurance?
Before joining Mnemonic, I've heard of it, and I think this comes back to kind of when you have a risk, you want to reduce kind of the risk itself, so the likelihood of it to happen, and also the effect. And I think investing in security, investing in kind of better firewalls or kind of surveillance or stuff like that, that is kind of reducing risk and making you more prepared to handle an attack. And then insurance is something I would like to have to more kind of cover cost and reduce the impact. So you always have this kind of, what's the probability, what's the impact? You know, typically you have this scale 1 to 5 on both of them, and then you want to reduce both of them. And then I see insurance part of this reducing the financial effect of an attack.
Did you actually understand like what was covered? If you've ever looked into a specific policy?
I haven't looked into it that much.
So, yeah. No. So it wasn't like top of your mind. That wasn't something that you wanted ever.
No.
I'm wondering if a security company, because I would assume that a security, let's say I'm a security team and you're a CFO. I would not really want you to have cyber insurance per se, because then I would sort of assume that you would just be like, okay, but we have cyber insurance. I don't need to give you money anymore because we're covered, right?
Well, I don't see it like that, because I think for especially kind of waste management is for example very prone to, there's a high risk of fires because you have batteries in, or you can have other types of electronics in general waste, and then you take it to through a kind of a waste shredder, and you can very easily have fires, and you have fire insurance, but you still invest heavily to have, you know, sprinkles in the production facility to reduce the risk, but you still want to have the fire insurance. So it's, I wouldn't see it as a alternative to investing in security, but more kind of, if you are kind of attacked, you get some money back at least, and you get some, hopefully also get better help to handle the incident.
Now you're the CFO of Mnemonic. How are you looking at security now? What sort of questions are you asking our internal team? What are you wondering about now? Or are you wondering about anything? I think you're lucky in Mnemonic. I think we have a focus on security that you are just inheriting. But
yes, and I think if you take the CFO role, I think you can normally split that into four areas. It's like you're working on strategy, working on kind of being an effective business partner. You work on kind of just financial strength of the company in terms of, you know, debt levels and cash flow and risk management. And then, of course, it's having a world-class efficient finance organization based on the size of the company in itself. So so for me, and which is really interesting, because to be an effective business partner, my focus for the first month here and also before I started was to learn a bit about, or try to learn as much as I can about security without being kind of a security professional at all. So so after a month, I think my questions are still kind of, okay, what is this product? What is this product? But also, what are the customers asking? What are customers, what is the customer focus? Of course, what is the risk that we take as a company delivering these services, which is always very important important to me. I don't want to see a contract where Mnemonic is at risk if something happens to the customer. And then, you know, what are the challenges we are facing in terms of new technology, competitors, how can we grow, and how can we also kind of deliver efficiently to our customers and make sure that we kind of stay the number one security company in Norway, Nordics.
It all comes down to risk. I feel like that's the main theme.
Yeah, risk is a key area. Yeah.
Yeah, but now that we're there, then risk management. What does it even look like? I mean, like how can we as security people sort of fit into that?
Well, it's. I think it's the more kind of the traditional or kind of the standard ways of looking at risk and having, kind of make sure that you're specific enough about risk. So listing, not kind of in general that, you know, there's big risk of cyber attacks, but kind of, okay, this can happen or this can happen and this can happen. This is what we should do to reduce, you know.
Define some
scenarios, saying, you know, we're hit by ransomware, you know, that is something else by being hit by some other types of malware. So kind of being kind of specific on it and also say, what can we do to mitigate that risk? What is the effect? What can we do to reduce the effect? And then that will fit it perfectly and you get better discussions, because this gets more and more on top of mind for probably everyone, but especially finance people who are worried about risk. And you see kind of the stories now from the US over the last few weeks with the pipelines and now beef production, and it's like, okay, who is not at risk, but how do you define that? You can't be a 500 million Norwegian company and invest tens of million in securities. Kind of where do you
Yeah, that was another thing I wanted to ask you, because I don't often ask my customers, because it's a sensitive question, but like your budget, how much you spend on security. The industry average was like 7 to 11% of IT spend was on security, and that's needs to increase is what the article said. But does that sound about right? Or is that you never had some sort of goals?
I've never had some goals. I think that sounds about right.
It's
a relatively small part of IT.
So the scenario building, that's definitely something that I've seen a lot in security teams, that like, okay, ransomware, that's definitely an easy, understandable scenario. Hey, we wake up one day, none of our IT systems work. I'm pretty sure we'll get money for that scenario, because everybody understands, it's very easily understandable. Yeah. Whereas like you said, your example, malware, what does that mean, right? And different malwares do a bunch of stuff. So the more clear you are about what the scenario is, the easier it will be
the more specific you can be about kind of if this happens. And then also understand the business risks is important. Kind of come into a company as a new CFO. You know, I've joined Mnemonic, have no background at all from security. You can do that as a CISO. You can join whatever type of company having no background at all from, you know, if you join a retail company, you worked in
something.
I'm going to work in production before. You need to understand what the company is doing. What is what is the risk that is specific for the companies? What is the things that can happen there and that will be kind of the have the highest impact? Because that can be quite different from a production company. Just an example for retail, getting having the customers able to pay every day, extremely important. For a production company, probably it doesn't really matter that you can't send the invoice for a week because you normally send once a month or twice a month anyway. So that's not a big problem. So you need to be very, very clear also on what is the business that you're working in and what are the business specific risks. So not just kind of ransomware or malware as general, but okay, what if our biggest production facility is hit by this type of mal or this happened, then kind of this thing happened to our competitor or a company in a comparable industry. This thing happened there. What if it happened to us? And then, of course, it's not expected that everyone have kind of a full financial understanding of, you know, if our production facility is down for a week, what will be the financial effect? But to say that, you know, this competitor had their production facility down for a week, what would happen if that
happened to us?
And then you ask the finance organization maybe to help you kind of help get the numbers, and then you can have the good discussions about, okay, how do we mitigate that?
You told me in our previous conversation when I said, hey, you're the new CFO, do you have 5 minutes? And I used an hour and 5 minutes. You were talking about how, you know, safety in your old role is very important. Like you're investing in, you know, we're investing in some sort of new air filter that might keep our, you know, want to explain that?
I have approved investments in kind of changing the light in production facility to have, you know, better light for our production workers that hopefully over time kind of have a positive health impact for them, air filters or other equipment to kind of reduce those effects. And I have to admit, as not only focused from a CFO perspective on cost cutting, but focused on business development, I think it's a lot more fun to do expansion investments where you actually invest in kind of a new business or kind of a new truck or new production equipment that will help you increase revenue. And it's not that fun to kind of sit and say, okay, now we're going to spend millions on kind of air filters security is kind of the same, but as it gets more and more on top of mind for everyone and specifically on CFOs, I think the enabling part that, you know, we can't really do this unless we, this is just base investment in this whole product or this business. If you are to do this business, we need to have, you know, we need to invest in this, and then security is just kind of a natural part of it.
Has to be part of it there.
And I think that has happened in HSEQ, health, security, environmental quality areas, and where that is not seen anymore as just, you know, something you do to be nice to your people. It's just that is good business.
Sustainable business,
Yes, sustainable business, and also take care of your people. That is good for the organization over time. And it's the same with security. Take care of your systems. Make sure and take care of your brand in terms of the risk there. So I think it's growing more and more into this kind of, it's just a base investments when you are to do new things.
I have if you have good security, like a good security system, good security thoughts, then you have by default better IT. And if you have better IT, I mean, every company, what is it, digitalize or die, right? Even if you're in production of something, if you're not in IT production, if you're not very, you know, if you're not moving that direction, you're gonna die. Do you agree? And then to be able to make that sort of transition, then security has to be a part of that process, or else at least you have higher risk of not being able to complete that mission, I guess.
There will be kind of more and more expectation, especially now after COVID. You'll have this, you expect the businesses to be even more digital than they were 1.5 years ago. So that might also be kind of a better market for security over time, because there's probably been happening a lot of things now over the last 1.5 year where no one has really had time to think about security. You just need to set things up.
Interesting. Any closing thoughts?
Maybe we should try again in a year and see when I know more about security.
Yeah. 1 year, you're not going to do anything with our security budget in that year then.
In the Munich, I think there are 250 people or something like that who are pushing for security investments, and then being the lone CFO to try to say, yes, I'm the one with the least technical experience here. I think this is probably the hardest company to say no to security investments.
Yeah, I don't think it's possible, actually. Yeah. But we'll see. Well, thank you very much for your time, and we'll see you around.
Thank you for having me.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, that's all for today, folks. Thank you for tuning in to the Mnemonic Security Podcast. If you have any concepts or ideas that you'd like us to discuss on future episodes, please feel free to hit me up on LinkedIn or to send us a mail to podcast@mnemonic.no. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.